Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode. I said episode. Please welcome back to another episode of Audience of One, the podcast. It's Myrna, your host, and if this is your first time hearing my beautiful voice, welcome. Hi, it's so nice to have you. If this is not your first time, welcome back, and I hope you know that you cannot escape. I'm joking, please. Anyways, I hope everyone has had a wonderful time. You know, you've had like a wonderful week or 2 weeks since the last episode. I personally have been doing good. Like, I've been okay. I'm tired of my house, but I've been okay. And without talking too much and making this introduction long, let's just get right into the episode. So today's episode is titled By Grace Through Faith, The Love Story of Salvation. And I first of all want to apologize. Hey, Marina's man. I want to apologize for this laugh that I just laughed, and the laugh at the beginning of the episode. Please, that's not my true nature. That's not how I am. Please, actually, it is how I am. Anyways, so By Grace Through Faith, the Holy Spirit actually inspired me to make this episode because a lot of people have some very, very funny misconceptions about what salvation really is. And I'm just like, if you're not sure what you have received, then how can you be confident in it? If you're not, how can you be bold about who you are in Christ when you are not even sure what that really means? Do you understand? And a lot of people, it's shocking how many people actually are walking around with these misconceptions. Like the other day, I was watching a true crime video. I love true crime, by the way. I will sit down and I will watch true crime videos from morning till night if you leave me alone. Anyways, so I was watching it on Eleanor Neal's YouTube channel, and essentially she was talking about this group of people, and they're a church, but the way they operate is just so hilarious. First of all, you have to be a certain race to be a member of the church. Men and women are completely separated. Then the men have ranks in the church. You enter as a brother, then you become a soldier, then you become something else, then you become... I'm just like, what's going on here? Anyways, that's not even the main kick. The main kick is that they really believe that at the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes again, Jesus is going to make them the rulers of the world, and the rest of us will now be their slaves. I said, please, I did not receive this salvation to come and be somebody's slave. So I don't understand this gist that they are giving. And they have a lot of followers. So you can imagine how many people are walking around with these misconceptions. And I feel like, just like this example I just gave, I'm not going to mention the name, Jack. But I feel like lots of people walk around with these misconceptions because of false teachings and doctrines. And don't get me wrong, like, doctrine is fine. Please don't come for me. But the question is, what exactly is your doctrine founded on? Because, okay, what exactly is even a doctrine? Okay, let's go. What exactly is even a doctrine? Doctrine is essentially the body of principles or teachings or a system of beliefs that a group or a church will found their basis on. That is what they laid their foundation on. So if your foundation is based on the word of God, the true word of God and the gospel, then yeah, great, you're fine. But if you have believed a lie to be your guiding principle, how can you boast about a lie? Do you understand? And you can blame people, but at the same time you can't blame people, but you can blame them, Sha, because especially for people that are born into religious families, like I was born into a Christian family. So is the church that my parents go to that means who I also go, like my parents can only leave their baby in one church and go to church in another place. It's not possible. So it's what I learned in the church that I knew about God. It's what my parents taught me that I knew about God. And so that's why it's very, very important for you to also grow up and make that conscious decision to have a relationship with God for yourself, to study the word for yourself, so that you know the truth from the source, which is the word of God, and you will not be wavered by what other people are saying and doing just because somebody puts Christ apostolic something in their name, you see Christ, you see apostolic, you say, yeah, I'm gonna go there, and you're going to teach a lot of rubbish. Or you see somebody puts God some something foundation, you saw God, you enter, and they're saying God knows what they're saying. So you have to know what the truth is. You have to know what the truth is. You have to know what the word of God says. And what does it say about salvation? It says that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Essentially meaning that we are saved by God's grace upon us. And once we believe in that demonstration of his grace, which was sending Jesus to die for our sins, then we're saved. There's no long gist. There's no long gist. Then every other thing you do from that point on is coming from the place of consciousness of who you are in Christ and a place of love, not from a place of you trying to keep a bunch of rules that are not going to guarantee anything. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So I did this Q&A poll on Instagram where I asked people like what's something that you've heard or an experience that you've had that somebody told you, oh, you have to do this to get salvation, or if you do this or you don't do this then you won't make heaven. And at first nobody answered me. I'm here for you people. Nobody answered me. The first time nobody answered me. Then I now, because I posted it on the Instagram page of the podcast, which is audienceofone.pod. That's audienceofone.pod, and nobody answered. I went to my main Instagram to repost it. That's when people now finally responded. So I'm just like, yeah, you guys, please follow the Instagram page of the podcast, because there are actually a lot of updates, intense updates. I say it's intense. There are lots of updates there. We have Tuesday themes. Those are like music recommendations. We have playlist recommendations. We also have this series called Word of the Day. And you never know, like, it may just be that thing that you needed to encourage yourself, to encourage somebody that you know in that moment. So yeah, follow the Instagram page of the podcast. As for the Q&A, like, I'll be mentioning some of the responses that I got, so I'll bring them up later on in the episode, but they were so hilarious. I cannot even shout. So that's the purpose of this episode. Without making this introduction long, because I feel like I already talked too much, let's just get right into the main gist of the episode. I'm sure I'm not the first person you're going to be hearing the words faith or grace or salvation or righteousness from, and I definitely will not be the last. Like, I'm so confident in that fact. But we hear it all the time, and sometimes it's just like, okay, what exactly is grace? What exactly is faith? You know? So I just wanted to take our time to talk a bit on these things so we'd have a better understanding of what it really means. So what is grace? Grace is a merited favor. And I promise you, I did not mean to sound like a Sunday school teacher with that one. Like, that was not my plan. So let me try again. What is grace? Grace is a merited favor. And what does it mean to be favored? Being favored, or having favor, is essentially being supported or preferred over anyone or anything. And in our case, it's us being preferred over anything. So when you see grace is a merited favor, it is God's special preference for you as a person over anything that he has created. And it's unmerited because we didn't do anything to deserve it. Like, there's nothing that we could have done to earn or deserve this favor that God has given us, this grace upon our lives. No, there's only one reason, which is his unending love for us, because we're at the top of the creation food chain, if you deep it. Like, you know when they say save the best for last? Save the best for last. And that was us, man. The best for last. And we're made in God's image after his likeness. There's nothing else so that was made in God's image. Let me just tell you, like, just if you did not know, know it now. There's nothing else that was made in his image, just us. We literally bear his spirit on the inside of us. So his unending love for us is what has given us this grace. It's nothing that we did, nothing that we have ever done. It's not as if you have done your job and you're saying, yeah, God, pay my money. No. No, you didn't do anything to deserve it. That's what grace is. Faith, simply put, is believing. Like, simply put, heavily on the simply put, because it wants to talk about faith. That can be a whole other episode. But simply put, faith is believing. And there's no long gist. Faith is believing and having that firm and unwavering belief in something. Like, you cannot be shaken when you have it at all. Then salvation, I was just thinking out loud to myself, was open for discussion between me and God. I was like, what was a way, like, how was a simple way to explain salvation? And then my spirit just said, grace plus faith equals salvation. And I was like, grace plus faith equals salvation. And if you know me, you know that I hate math, and there is nothing for the life of me that will ever use an equation to explain something to somebody. And I was like, Holy Spirit, you get sense. And really, that's what salvation is. Salvation is the result of God's grace upon our life, and our belief, that's our faith in that demonstration of grace. It's the free gift of God that has been given to us through Christ's death and resurrection. And once we believe in that, we're saved. Pakam, that's the end. That's it. That's all that there is to salvation. And I just felt like, okay, yes, we should like talk about it so that people will actually have a better understanding. Because sometimes we talk a lot too, and it's very easy to just assume that people know these things. And sometimes we talk and talk and talk, and you can even forget the true meaning of what you're talking about. So hopefully this just served as a reminder to provide a better understanding of what grace, faith, and salvation really means. So that, yeah, during the course of the episode, we'll all be carried along. Now let's get into the main gist of the episode. I promise I will not say this main gist again. Like I said earlier, I did a Q&A on Instagram to know what, I asked a question, and I was like, okay, what's something that you've heard or something that somebody has told you that you have to do to get salvation, or if you do or you don't do, then you won't make heaven? And I got the most, I got the funniest responses. You guys will never believe it. And Misha, I went first because I just shared my Instagram. I shared my experience on Instagram, so I'll say it again. We were having car rehearsal one day, and the security person, I think he was going to lock up the classroom, like he was just doing his rounds. Anyways, so we're praying, and he entered the classroom. So normal reaction, we saw that, okay, he has seen that we are praying. He will leave, because we're still using the classroom now. So, but he did not leave. Baba stood there at the door. He waited for us to finish praying. We finished praying, and he now paused us. I say paused us. He stopped us. He was not like, so you mean that you were praying and you did not cover your hair? You guys are big. I was so shocked. I was like, what's happening here? He was not like, you don't know that as a woman, you're supposed to cover your hair when you're praying. If not, God will not answer your prayer. He said, sorry, sir. You know that TikTok sound? You're shocked? Don't be shocked. You guys, I was shocked. Like, then he was not like, and you want to make heaven? I said, sorry, sir. Heaven's gatekeeper and door stopper. I was just so confused. Like, what is happening here? Human beings are just so hilarious. Anyways, so I now got some of the responses from on Instagram. And these people, human beings, will not kill me. So somebody said, they said that if you don't pray as part of a community, you won't make heaven. And I'm just like, who is teaching? Gosh. I want to believe that I understand where the person that made the statement is coming from. Because really, as a believer, we're supposed to have a community of fellow believers that we pray together with, we worship together with, we come together, we edify ourselves, we build up our faith. And it's very, very important. Like, even that popular verse that everybody always brings up, Hebrews 10:25, and that one that is mostly in KJV that everybody says is forsake not the gathering of the brethren and stuff like that. But I'll read it in the Passion Translation, and it says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onwards as we anticipate the day dawning. And it's very important, really, to have that fellowship of believers, because in as much as it helps you to also edify and grow your faith and build up your faith, you know,
also as some kind of as a form of accountability, because funny enough, we notice things about ourselves last. So when you are with a group of people that are like-minded, just like you, you have the same, you share the same opinions and beliefs about stuff, and they notice that something's just off about you, like you're going off, somebody will be ready to like call you back and be like, bro, this is not you, what's going on, like come back, that kind of thing. So it's very, very important, but it's also very important for us to know how to pray individually by ourselves, because really, you want to grow your faith, there's no better way to. How do you even build up your faith? You exercise that faith that you have. You need to know how to pray on your own. You need to have to study the word on your own. Because there are going to be some times when there are going to be things that you have to handle by yourself. And you cannot start running around to meet your fellowship members. You cannot be depending on them all the time. You can't. It's not possible. So please. Yes, we should have that community of believers. It is very crucial, it's very important. You should. It can be your fellowship in school, in church, it can be your youth fellowship, it can even be in the workplace or just a group of your friends. How you guys come together and you pray. It's very important, it's very crucial. But you also need to pray individually. Yes. So please, this gist that you will not make it help. Hey, human beings will not kill me. Then somebody said that if you don't fast, your prayer is not as potent. And I was like, come, it's prayer charm. Like, when do we start? Potency and non-potency of prayer. And then again, I want to believe that I also understand where this person is coming from. Because fasting is very important. You cannot say that you're a mature Christian and you don't fast. You have never fasted. You don't make out time to fast. What's happening? You have to fast. Fasting is very, very important. Very essential. Very necessary. Like irrelevance of fasting can be a whole other episode, but just if you like, fasting helps you develop your spiritual strength and it helps you tune in to the spirit realm. It helps you to be more sensitive, because let me just use this analogy. Like if you want to make a cup of tea, right, and there's water already in a flask, let's say the water has been there for like 2 days, the water is not going to be hot, it's going to be warm, it's probably even going to be cold. And then you now boil water and you pour water, another like hot water inside that flask, right? Because the cold water and the hot water have mixed, the water is now going to be warm. And you pour that water into a cup, you say you want to drink tea or you want to drink coffee, and the water is now warm. And I mean, warm coffee and warm tea is very ugh, it's very yuck. If you want to drink hot tea, drink it with your full chest. Do you get? And that's just like an example of one thing that fasting does. Is a demonstration, is a way of you emptying yourself and just getting rid of all the distractions around you. And it's just, it's like your way of saying, God, right now it's just me and you. I'm taking away every other thing, all the noise around me, all the distractions around me, and whatever it is you want to tell me, whatever you want to impart in me, I'm fully, wholly ready, and like I am here. Fill me up, essentially. Because a lot of the times God is speaking, but we're missing it because we're very distracted and caught up in our own things. So like fasting is, for me, is a way of resetting. Do you understand? And it's just a way of emptying so that I am receiving at my full capacity. That's one thing that fasting does. And fasting, when you fast, it is for yourself. That's one thing that people fasting is really for yourself. But like I said, relevance for fasting can be another episode, another day. So yeah, fasting is very important. But that doesn't mean that if you're not fasting, then God's not answering your prayer. Or like, or your prayer is not genuine. Because genuine prayer is one that is done. Earnest prayer is one that's done genuinely from the heart and with faith. So please, please, your prayer is being answered, whether you're fasting or not. But please, human beings will just not kill me. And the one that sent me, like, one that really had me rolling on the floor laughing, somebody said that, that if you wear jewelry, you would not make heaven. I can't do this in human beings again. Like, I'm done with you people. Because what do you mean? If you were Jew, you would not make heaven. And then God will look at you and say, yes, my daughter, you have done well by abstaining from jewelry. You don't tempt men with your jewelry. Come and enter my bosom. Please. Jewelry is not one-way ticket to heaven. That's not it. And like, there are other things that were along the same lines, and I didn't like pick everything because I didn't want to keep repeating myself. But obviously you can tell that people have added their own spice and jara to what to what salvation really means. And I'm just here to say that all of that is secondary. That's not the main thing. That's fake gist. And if somebody is telling you that that's what is your saving grace, then please tell them that that's fake gist. Because it's not. It's not your abstinence from jewelry or your wearing of trouser that's send you to heaven or send you to the pit of hell, fire and brimstone. No, there's only one way to salvation, and that is acknowledging that you are a sinner, repenting and believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, confessing that faith. That's it. Like, if you've done VBS, and if you go to, like, VBS is Vacation Bible School, and if you go to my church, you have to have done VBS at least twice in your life. And we always learn this ABCs of becoming a Christian song. A is admitting to God that you're a sinner, repenting and turning away from your sin. B is believing that Jesus is God's son and that he came into the world to save everybody. Then C is confessing your faith in Jesus as your savior and your Lord and choosing to live your life for him forever. And that's all that there is. Once you do this, like, pakam, yeah, it seems. It says pakam. That's it, really. And if you don't believe me and my ABC song, then let's read it from the direct source, the truth above all truths, the word of God. And reading Romans chapter 10, verse 9, in the Passion Translation, and it says, "And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of righteousness of God, and then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation." That's it. That's all. Like, that's the end. There's no long gist. Once you publicly, like, you accept in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died for your sin, you have acknowledged it, you believe it wholeheartedly, that's it. You accept him as your savior. Pakam. That's the end. There's no long gist about it. Then I'll read Romans chapter 3 verse 23 to 27, and it says, also in the Passion Translation, and it says, "Yes, for we have all sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Yet, through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. Jesus' God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins, and now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. We come to him for mercy, for God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice, because until now, he had been so patient, holding back his justice out of his tolerance for us. So he covered over the sins of those who lived prior to Jesus' sacrifice. And when the season of tolerance came to an end, there was only one possible way for God to give away his righteousness and still be true to his justice and his mercy, which was to offer up his own son. So now, because we stand on the faithfulness of Jesus, God declares us righteous in his eyes. Where then is there room for boasting? Do our works bring God's acceptance? Not at all. It was not our works of keeping the law, but our faith in his finished work that makes us right with God. So our conclusion is this: God's wonderful declaration that we are righteous in his eyes can only come when we put our faith in Christ and not in keeping the law." And that's essentially the point that I'm trying to make from this entire episode. Like, human beings will not kill me. It is literally here, like, "Where then is there room for boasting? Do our works bring God's acceptance? Not at all. It's not what you do or what you don't do that is making you right before God. It is your faith, your belief in the fact that you know that Jesus is the God, is the Son of God. Like, he died on the cross for your sins. He cleansed you of that sin completely. You are now made right before God. You are now righteous in his sight. What does that even mean? It means that you are blameless before God. You can stand before him boldly. You can have a direct relationship with him. Because back in the day, people did not have direct access to God. Let's even go back to verse 25, because this verse is very, very important, and it really emphasizes the gravity of what took place. So verse 25 says, Jesus's God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins, and now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. What is a mercy seat? Like, when I read it, I was like, what is mercy seat? And when I found out, I was like, okay, now I understand. Essentially, the mercy seat was the cover or the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, the Ark of Covenant was essentially, it was like a box that the people used to carry, like the Israelites used to carry around everywhere. They used to take it to war and everything, because the Spirit of God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant. So the mercy seat was the cover, it was the lid to that Ark of the Covenant, right? And the people carried it throughout the wilderness for years, and they finally found a home in the temple in Jerusalem. So blood of mercy was sprinkled on the mercy seat every year on the Day of Atonement, which essentially covered the sins of the people. And let me explain what this means. Every year there was this day called the Day of Atonement, which was essentially the day that all the people would gather, right? And then the high priest, that was like the spiritual leader at the time, the high priest would now enter the temple, enter into the Holy of Holies, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and sprinkle the blood of a lamb. I believe it was a lamb. I don't remember the animal. But sprinkle the blood of an animal on that mercy seat, on the cover, as a symbol of atoning for the sins of the people, essentially. And I don't think you understand the gravity of this thing, because the Ark of the Covenant, my days, the Holy of Holies, is not a place you can enter anyhow. Because you know the Spirit of God is. You cannot enter it anyhow. Even the high priest self, you know, they enter anyhow. Like, it's not every day you enter Holy of Holies. It's not as if you just enter temple, you just see Holy of Holies, you pass it. Holy of Holies, inside. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. So the high priest, the people will have to, first of all, do a whole sanctification process for themselves. So when they are atoning for their sins, the high priest will also prepare himself and prepare the animal that is they are going to use the blood to sprinkle on that mercy seat. Okay, so the high priest will prepare himself, enter into the holy, like the preparation of the high priest. No, we want God. Don't be saying you could just bath one time, wear clothes. You know how we get ready for work. This one, proper cleansing of yourself. Then he enters the Holy of Holies and sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people. And this was done on a specific day every year. I don't know how much more I can even emphasize this, but Jesus sprinkled his own blood now on the cross and on the mercy seat in the heavens. The mercy seat was not seen by the people, no. It's only the high priest that will enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle that blood. But Jesus was publicly offered as the sacrifice for our own sins and bore the consequences of our sins. And it's not as if it's not you know, we say Jesus they crucify himself every year like they used to do back in the day. It's not a reoccurring, it's not something that happens all the time. It doesn't happen every
year like he did back then. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice in the sense that he paid the sacrifice, cleansed the sins of the people back then and for future generations to come. That is me and you. Before our forefathers were even conceived, Jesus had already cleansed all of us like this. So because of that, like even when Jesus was crucified, this is by the way, just to say that you, when Jesus was crucified, at the ninth hour, let me not say something that is incorrect, but when Jesus was crucified, the curtain of the temple was split into two. Nobody splits it, so nobody said they carry scissors because it was split into two on its own, signifying that now we have direct access to God. Back then, the Spirit of God was in the Ark of the Covenant, it was in a box, but now we have the Spirit of God inside of us the moment we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And that is salvation. That is what it means. So every other thing that we do from the point of accepting Christ as our Savior stems from a place of the consciousness of who you are in Christ. Because once you accept Christ, you are now a son, you are now a daughter of God. And when you know that God hates sin. I mean, it was sin that made God send Jesus in the first place. No, it was sin that made God send Jesus in the first place. So you know that God hates sin already. So the things that you do now living for Christ is not coming from a place of I'm trying to keep the law, keep a bunch of rules. And I feel like I will even say this later on as it's building up to my next point. It's not me I'm trying to keep a bunch of rules to now gain access to God or access to heaven. No, I already have that access. I'm doing these things because I know what it means and I know who I am. And I know that because I love God and because God loves me, I have a relationship with Him. It's like you're dating somebody. You know the things that this person doesn't like. You know things that the person knows the things that you don't like. So obviously, you will not be doing things to upset each other. It's really like the same thing. You know that God doesn't like this. And because I love Him, because I know who I am in Him, because I know I'm a representative of God here on this earth, I'm not going to do it. And that is it. That is where, okay, you can now start saying that there are certain things that you can do and cannot do. But it is not those things that you will do or not do that will now guarantee your salvation. You already have received salvation. And everything you do now stems from a place of love for God and a place of the consciousness of who you are in Christ. So please, that is what salvation is. It is God's grace upon our lives and the demonstration of His grace by sending His Son to cleanse us of our sins so that we can be right with God and have the opportunity to have that relationship with Him. So once you believe that, you have been saved. So any other person who's come and give you fake gist, please tell them that. Tell them that that's not true, really. And that's all that there is to salvation. Okay, so there's something I want to talk about. And it's because a lot of people are operating with this narrative, or they have strongly convinced themselves, you know, that it's okay to keep sinning and keep doing the wrong stuff because Jesus loves me so much and He loves me for who I am, so I can just keep on doing this and all I have to do is ask Him for forgiveness. I'm just like, babe, guy, calm down. Like, be calming down, relax, let's just be guided. So I just want to ask you a question. Let me just ask the same question that Apostle Paul asks us, and he's like, just because we have been saved, does that mean that we can keep on sinning so that more and more grace can abound? And I'm just going to give like a moment so that you can answer that question by yourself for yourself? Okay, the answer is no. So if your answer was anything other than no, let me just tell you now that the answer is no. Because let me paint this picture for you. You know when you think of something that you've done or something like really, really cringe that you remember? Like, you know those memes or like that thing where like, let's say you were talking to somebody that and then you were just like oversharing and you look back, like you go through your old messages and just like, ew, I cannot believe this was me. Like, do you want, or like you do something that you really, really regret? Like, would you intentionally want to go back to that time so you can do that thing all over again? Obviously not. Like, let me give an example. There was a time when I was in like just one or so. This was a long time ago, but I can never forget it in my entire life. I woke up really, really sick that morning. So I was throwing up any and everywhere. But during the course of the day, I eventually felt better. So I was like, okay, I can go for mass. Like, I can go to mass now. It's not a problem. And it's a Catholic secondary school. So I wanted to go to mass because my house was singing and I didn't want to miss out on singing with my house. So I went and I sat down. And if you're Catholic or you ever attended mass, you know that the worst possible time for anything to happen is during homily. That's when the priest is like preaching, because everybody's attention is on the priest. Everyone is so silent. So who are you to steal that attention? Do you get? And that's, it was in that moment that my stomach said, Renounce, man, I am going to disgrace you. Me, I spoke to my stomach. I said, you cannot even try it. It's not here and it's not now. That's how I started to give myself motivational speech and have eternal battles with my digestive system, because I was not having it. Like, my stomach said, if you don't leave now, I will disgrace you. And I said, no, you can't do this to me. You cannot do this to me. Before I could even think twice, I embarrassed myself, my whole family, my lineage. I threw up. Like, it was not even enough. You know when you have emptied your entire system on another human being, like a person next to me? Ah. And this was not even silence that only a select few people saw it. The whole chapel turned into my direction. I was just like, God, why? God, why? It was so embarrassing. And like, to this day, that's one of the worst moments of my life. And I know for a fact that I do not want to go back to that moment. So why would you want to go back to something when you've been given the opportunity to live a brand new life? Like, we have to understand that we are dead to sin. Like, when Christ died on the cross, we died with him and we resurrected with him brand new. That's the entire, and that's what baptism represents. Because we're dead to sin. We died with those sins and we are now new living beings in Christ. So we're dead to sin. It means that sin does not have a hold over your life anymore. And since you are dead to it, how can you consciously continue to live in it? Do you understand? Like, you are under no obligation to do what your sinful nature desires. And this one is a direct quote from the Bible. You are under no obligation to do what your sinful nature desires. Sin is under you now. You are not under sin. So because you have been saved, you know who you are. You know what you have received. You won't even want to sin. And I'm not saying it's impossible now to sin, and I'll get to that in a minute. But right now, you need to understand that you are a new creature in Christ. Like, it was sin that made God even send Jesus in the first place. No, he hates sin. So why would you intentionally want to do something that makes God upset? We're no longer under the law of sin. And now the things that we do, they don't even stem from a place of fear, but they come from a place of knowing who you are, the consciousness of who you are in Christ. And they come from a place of having that relationship, having that love for God. So there are certain things that even when people will be like, oh yeah, sorry, I don't do this. And they'll be like, why? I'm just like, because I am a Christian. I am a brand new creature in Christ. And I don't do this because God loves me and I love him. And this is how our relationship and this is the dynamic of our relationship. Do you understand? Like, I'm not saying that it's impossible to sin. No, we all do. We all slip up from time to time. I personally have. And it can be very, very annoying and devastating, especially when you realize after you're just like, I'm just like, Myrna, how could you let this happen? How could you let this happen? But that's when we should understand that sin cannot hold you back. Like, it does not have the power to hold me back or hold you back the way it had the power over us before we were saved. No. It's not like back in the days. You know, back in the days, the people used to try you. Like, if you read the book of Leviticus, you will know that the people used to try. Because it's not like we're unclean now and we have to make one sacrifice of atonement with one young, spotless year-old calf and dove and goat. No. We literally are under grace. And because of that, you just have to acknowledge that, yeah, I messed up. You repent and you are forgiven. You know, the beauty of God. God, he has even forgiven us before we ask for that forgiveness. That's just one thing. He has already forgiven us. But it's just so amazing how now sin does not have any power or hold over you. So there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. And we're going to get to that in a minute. There is nothing that whoever separates you from God's love. There's no sin that's too grave to separate you and remove that grace that God has already given you. So you cannot even be a slave to sin, because you are a slave to what you choose to obey. So if you choose to obey sin, you become a slave to it. And that's not the intention. That's not God's plan for our lives. But if you choose to serve God, glory to God, you are under him and you're under his under his wings. You cannot sin. Like, you just can't. Really, you can't. You are dead to it, and you and sin have no business. Sin does not have any place in your life. Nothing at all. So let's come out of that whole narrative of, yeah, because we have grace, we can continue to live in sin. That's not it at all, because then you are taking God for granted. And in as much as God is so merciful, he's also very just. And that's not a threat too. It's not a threat, but it's the truth. You cannot take God for granted at all. And that's when the importance of knowing who you are, so that the things that you do, they will now stem from a place of love, because you will now be intentionally living for Christ because you love him and and he loves you. That's now the dynamic of your relationship. The basic relationship is love. It's not fear. It's not master and servant. No, it's father and son, father and daughter. That's the dynamic of your relationship. So sin does not have any position in that relationship. So we need to come out of that narrative and understand that because we are dead to sin, we can no longer live in it intentionally. So the last thing that I want to really hit heavy on and emphasize is that there is nothing that can ever separate you from God's love. And this one is not even me that's telling you, it's from the Bible, direct and straight. Like, it's in Romans chapter 8 verse 38. And if you want to find biblical backing or references for this entire episode, everything that we've talked about, just read the book of Romans, like chapter 1, from chapter 1 to chapter 8. I know it may sound long, but that is essentially all that there is, and you will really understand what you have received. So Romans 8:38, I'm going to read it in the Message translation, actually. And it says, none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus our Master has embraced us. And going on to earlier on to like verse 37, 38, 36, 37, it says, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, no trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in scripture. And it's very, very important for us to understand this, because a lot of the times the enemy is really, really trying to trap us in this whole thing of making us feel so guilty, like what too bad or what too rotten or what too much of a wreck for God to fix and use. And that is not true at all, because he has literally promised us that there is nothing that can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing at all. Even the one that you can think and the one that you cannot think. Nothing. No, with me, we talk. I'm not so you did for Bible. I don't know if you know that movie. Oh my days. I cannot remember. But let me not get distracted. Anyways, no, with me, we talk. I'm not so you did for Bible. There is nothing that can ever separate you from God's love. And that's what the enemy wants us to be held back by, our guilt and everything, so that we will now be trapped and we will end up in this very vicious cycle of, okay, you fall into sin, and then when you fall into sin, you now think you are so terrible, like you've done something so grave, and then we will now remain in that guilt, and we now cannot come before God. But the thing is, God is always ready for you to run into his embrace. To run back into his embrace, literally. But the thing is, God will not force you. That's why we always have to keep guard our hearts and remind ourselves, because this happens to me a lot. Like, something can happen, I'll just be like, Marina, how could you let this happen again? And then, before I even think too much, I just remember this promise in Romans 8:38 that nothing will ever separate me. And I'm just like, yes, this is what I need to know. And I run back and I'm like, God, you already know I've done this thing. And I don't, like, I'm so mad at myself that I let this happen. But this is me coming back to you. And I know that you already forgive me. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. And I'm sorry. And I will try my best. Like, I will not go back to this. That's how you move on. But then he wants you to remain in that cycle, so that you will not go back to God. And then when you are now alone, they'll just feed you a bunch of lies. He will just feed you a bunch of lies and just consume you and destroy you from that point. And that is not God's plan or purpose for our lives. So don't let the enemy or any person that has allowed themselves to be an instrument to tell you that, oh guy, you've done this thing, like, how could you do this? Like, no, there's nothing like that. Forget. Please tell them that they're a liar. Tell them to not allow the devil use them. Don't allow the devil use you. There is absolutely nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. There is not even the worst sins listed in scripture. So let go of that. Okay, I'm suffering with this addiction, I can't come before God. You can let go of that. Oh, I already had sex so many times, I'm not pure enough. Let go of it. Let it, like, dead that thought. Dead it completely. There is nothing. As long as you come back and you repent and just pour out your heart to him, nothing can divide you. God has already given us the grace. He cannot take it back. Sorry, please. Like, the price has been paid. Believe it. Accept it. That is the honest truth. Accept it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No be me talk am. Na so it is for Bible. My days, I'm seriously trying to remember where this movie is. This line is from. You know that Nollywood movie. Hey, why am I shouting? Marina, why are you shouting? It's from. Please, I remember. When I remember, I'll tell you guys. But this should be the, like, heavy on this. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can ever separate you from God's love that we have in Christ Jesus. Wrapping up the episode, I just want the main takeaways to be that, number one, you are saved by grace through faith. It is not. So please miss me with that. If you wear jewelry, I'm like, jewelry, why are you forgetting your gist? I need to know if I'm getting your gist from, because I don't understand it. Please, you are saved by grace through faith. So once you believe in God's demonstration of his faith to us, which was sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, and you accept Jesus as your savior, you confess that faith. That's it. That's the end. No long gist. Number two, you are dead to sin. Sin has no hold over your life at all. You have no business with it. So let's not convince ourselves and now end up just doing what you're not meant to do, and basically deceiving ourselves into thinking that it's okay to keep on living whatever lifestyle we have chosen for ourselves that is not glorifying God, just because we are under the era of grace and we know that, okay, God loves us so much, we cannot take that grace for granted. So please, let's come out of that narrative. And finally, there is nothing that can ever separate you from God's love. His love is never ending. It's reckless. Like, it's never ending. It is always present, never ending, ever present. So there is nothing, no sin too grave, nothing at all that will separate you from the love of Christ that you have received. So yes, no be me talking. Now so we need for Bible. I remember the movie. Is that Terror the Archangel and Silencer? Yeah, you. If you don't know it, yeah, then this may be awkward because you're like, what's this girl saying? But if you know it, you know it. If you know, you know. The name of the movie is War Game. One Hollywood movie like this. Anyways, that's the end of the episode, you guys. I am so happy to have finally ended this episode. Like, I know it was a bit of a long one, but I just felt like, there was a lot to unpack in this episode. So, if you made it to the end, thank you so much for staying. Because I know some did not make it to the end. It's fine, it's fine. As long as you shall finish it in your own time. That's great. So, I'll see you guys next time with another episode. Don't forget to follow the Instagram page at audienceofone.pod. And I will see you next time. Bye.